You have your Bible, turn back over to the book of Ephesians with me. I really was trying to think about going in a different direction tonight, but I felt like I was to stick right where I was at this morning. And I want to talk about a few things. And again, I'm not going to get done. It's not possible for me to get done tonight with what I want to share with you this evening. But I do want to share a few more thoughts with you this afternoon. I want to talk about a couple of things, the way I want to do this. And again, I don't intend to keep you past about 10, 15. I'll try to let you out by then. Just kidding. But anyway, I am serious. I'll let you out by 10, 15. But I'll seriously not try to keep you no longer than necessary tonight. I want to just give you some food for thought and something to kindly ponder on for a few days. And maybe this will tie back in on Wednesday night and let's move on towards the weekend. But again, if you have your Bible in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, I don't want us to go back and dwell on everything that we talked about this morning. If you look in verse number 12, and I'm not going to do this tonight. I want to have a little bit more time just to talk about verse 12. I do have things that is in front of me that I could talk about, but I don't think that's where I want to talk about with this particular message. I want to talk about something a little bit different. Verse number 13 is all only scripture I want to read to start with. And the Bible says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." In other words, don't leave anything out. Amen. Heard Perry Stone talk about something years ago. And he talked about something as he relayed this to a glitch in your armor. And as he talked about the glitch in your armor, he talked about where that if someone was a potter and if someone sold pottery, he said one of the things that they would do is that they would, after the clay was set, if the clay found out that there was a crack in the piece of pottery, what he would do is actually the potter would take a shortcut. And what he would do, he would take that crack and fill that crack back up with clay. And I don't know this to be the truth. I'm not a potter. But yet the Bible says that he's the potter and we're the clay. And again, this is not really the message of where I'm going with this. But Perry, in this message, from my understanding, would say these words, that the potter would take a shortcut, and where that crack was in there, he would take and pack and fill that crack back in and then put it back into the fire. And if that instrument was not properly and correctly fitted and fit and properly fixed, as soon as the fire would come back onto the clay, as it would go into the furnace, it would eventually just come forth. Now, one of the things I remember about that is that the potter would take what's called wax, and they'd take wax and try to put the wax back in the crack, and as soon as the wax hit the fire, the wax would just melt out of the crack, and then it was there in that area is where the piece, the instrument, the pot, whatever vessel would actually be flawed. And one of the things that Perry made a connection between that was simply this, that it was a glitch in the clay. It was a glitch in the armor, if you will. And when it went through the fire, at that point, it's where that the wax would run out and then it would not hold the liquid or whatever. And he made a connection between you and I being the clay and you and I not really being fitted for the battle that we're in. And then as soon as you and I are put through the test, or as soon as we're put through the fire, then the wax would run out, we would not be able to stand against the opponent, as the Bible teaches us that we're to stand against the opponent. Several things I want to talk about here, because he actually says this in the scripture. He teaches us to take unto us the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the evil day, and having done all to stand, verse 14 says, to stand. Now the reason I brought that up was simply this, is there was an emphasis on this, that where the Bible teaches us that we've got to be clothed, if you go back up to the top, with the power of His might. We talked about power, but yet we look at this word might. When I look this word up in the Greek concordance, it was the word power of His might. It speaks to the physical abilities and the capacity to be healthy opposite of being sick. When we think about this word in the spiritual realm, where He teaches us that we're to be strong in His might, we make a connection between the physical abilities or the physical person and the capacity of the physical person to be well versus a person being sick. And God, my friend, when God says that you and I are to be clothed with His power and with His might, it is a word of understanding that God does not want you and I to be sick or anemic. God is looking for a healthy church. God is looking for a person, if you will, that is filled with power. When He says filled with might, it is imperative that the church be a healthy church. A sick church cannot help a sick society. The society in which we're living in today is in poverty, and the church, my friend, is to be the light to go into a sick and to a dying world and to have in our hand the solution for the world today. And that is one thing, and that is Jesus Himself. To be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might requires you and I to be dressed up for Him. Now, when I talk about that, it's time to be dressed. It's time to put on the armor. Again, we're going to walk through some stuff. When we think about this, I've never said this to Sherry. In all of my 40-some-odd years of marriage, I've never even made a connection to this. But I remember as a kid, anybody besides me ever play football like mites and midgets and the termites and all that? Brother Jesse, me and you're on the same page. It's mine and your message right here. But when we thought about that as a kid, I played football. I really enjoyed playing football. And baseball, and for a few years I did that. I remember going in to what we called the dressing room. When we went into the dressing room, again, I was a kid, I was a youth, and I was going in there, and they took us in there, our coaches took us in there, and they actually had on a wall. They had on the wall, they had all the helmets that we would be able to choose from. Coach at the time said, "Boy, go over there and find a helmet that'll fit you." So I go over there and I end up finding this helmet. It's pretty cool for me anyway. But anyway, it was a lot different than everybody else's, and somebody that plays football would have to tell me. A lot of guys, Russell, they just have an open face mask. The one I chose, I don't know why, but I always remember it. It had a guard that come down from the top of the helmet right down between my eyes, and it fit my face mask. And all that, I thought, that's the coolest helmet here. I like that helmet. So I went ahead and chose that helmet. And then, of course, you get your pants and you get your shirt and you get all that stuff and put it on. I don't know how it happened, but I ended up getting a jersey because they just let you go pick a jersey. I mean, it's not pro ball. I mean, just go get you a shirt and get it on, kid. But I went and picked a jersey, and out of all the jerseys, I picked up a jersey that had 34 on it. And so I was getting it, and I took it back out to the car, and Mama picked us up and took it home and all that kind of stuff. And then I showed that jersey to my dad, and he said, "Well, I be." And I said, "What?" He said, "Daddy played high school football. Guess what his number was? Number 34. I thought, that is so unique, and that is so odd. But I did all of that, and this is just me. I don't think I've ever said this to Sherry in all of our married time, but I remember putting on that football uniform. Mama bought us cleats, and we had on our shoes, and we had all that stuff on there, and you had on your pads, and you stuffed them down in your football breeches and all your pads and everything. Jesse, you put on your shoulder guards, and you pull that shirt down over you, and the more you put on, the bigger you got. Come on, somebody. The more you put on, the bigger you got. And it don't matter if you're a kid and you weigh every bit of 110 pounds. And, you know, if you got this other guy that weighs maybe 150 pounds, come on, big boy, I'm ready for you because I got on my armor. I don't really have a lot of memories of that. But I can only imagine how I must have felt when I was a kid, when I went into that dressing room and I done every bit of that, and then I put on that football uniform. I was a real football player. I felt pretty good about myself that day. You know what I'm saying? I don't remember a lot of that, but I can only imagine how I would have felt as a kid when I done that. But the reality was the football thing really did happen. And then, not only that, but you really had all this armor on, and you had all this on, and you had your helmet on, you had your, you know, that thing you put between your teeth and keep you from knocking your teeth out, your mouthpiece, and all that stuff. And guess what? You're ready for battle. And you would have never went out on that field without all of that protection on. Why is the church trying to fight a spiritual battle when God has told us what to put on, and we don't even get dressed for the event? Now, when we think about this, and I'm going to piggyback on this a little bit this morning, because if you go back and you look at this in Scripture, well, I know that the Bible teaches us in two different places. First of all, you look in Luke 24 and 49. This is one of the places that Jesus took his disciples. When Jesus took his disciples in Luke 24 and 49, there was something that was getting ready to happen in their life. There was getting ready for something to change in their life. And the Bible said, if you look at this, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Now watch this. But tarry you in the city of Jerusalem, and they did. They went to the upper room. Until you be endued with power from on high. Now think about this. We know that power is a word, dunamis, in the Greek, and it means like dynamite. And then you have another one that's energia, that is the energy. You take a flashlight out of the battery, and you don't have nothing but an empty shell, if you will. But you take the power out of the church today, you have nothing more than another social event, just like going to Walmart. Come on, somebody. It's just like another event. You might go to the Kiwanis Club or the other club. It don't make no difference. But when you put the power of the Holy Ghost in a vessel this evening, I tell you, we are a force to be reckoned with. And the devil knows, my friend, if you and I be filled with the power of the Spirit. He told them, don't go and don't leave the upper room until you be endued with power from on high. Again, we looked at this morning. That word endued means to be clothed upon. The next word, verse, we look at this, and I mentioned this morning. I don't necessarily need to go back to this verse, but again, Jesus told them that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come up on you. And we need that today. We need to be filled with the power of the Lord Jesus if we're ever going to be the church that God wants us to be. Again, when we begin to look at this, when we are clothed, when we put our clothing on, when we put our spiritual clothes on, it ensures us against the evil one. It ensures us the ability to be able to stand against every attack of the devil. Verse 11 says that when we do this, when we put on the whole armor of God, and the purpose and the reason that we be able to put on the armor of God is that we will be able to stand against the wiles. When we look this word up, wiles, this word wiles is, again, is a very good little Greek word there that talks about the schemes and the attack. As I mentioned this morning, it's the schemes, the plans, the cunningness of the devil. Just like Eve in the garden, and the snake came, and the enemy came, the devil came, disguised as a snake, if you will, and where that he beguiled Eve, and he told Eve, as, you're not going to die. When you do this, you're going to become just like God. And she fell right into his trap. She fell right into his trap. But yet you think about this, the Bible again warns us. The Bible reminds us, as the Scripture says, that the devil, again, we mentioned this today, because he says that the devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Verse number 12, again, is a reminder. We're not going to get into that one right now. So he teaches us in verse number 3, he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in that evil day. Undergo. Withstand means to undergo. The church, my friend, if the Lord tarries, the church is going to undergo some persecution. The American church is very slowly, if I can use that word, going to sleep. Maybe not you, maybe not this location, maybe not you and a particular individual, but the church, and you know it, you have to admit it, the church is not the influence in America that she used to be. You know that. Little by little, we're seeing people fall by the wayside. Little by little, it's as if people no longer have the joy of the Lord. And little by little, it seems like that people no longer have an intent, the desire to serve God. You know why? We got empty pews tonight. Everybody that's not here is not sick. But somewhere along the way, somebody has lost their fire. You may get mad at me tonight, but I remember going to church on Sunday night. I remember I couldn't wait to get to church on Sunday night. That was evangelism. Now, that's when we had prayer lines. That's when people prayed through. That's when we knew that we were going to go have church. And now you can't even hardly get people to come back to church on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. Hello, you know I'm telling the truth. And we think that we're clothed. We think that we are ready. We think that we're going to be able to be victorious over the devil. And to be victorious over the wiles and the trickery of the enemy? No, my friend, I believe when the enemy comes, as the Bible says, that the wiles are coming, he's cunning, his cunning devices. The Bible says if there's anything that you and I need to be, and that, my friend, is alert. When you begin to look in the book of Ephesians chapter number 5, we see this in Ephesians 5, and Paul again was writing this. And Paul is writing this in the scripture, and he teaches us in verse 14, again, this Ephesus church, the church of Ephesus. Wherefore he saith in verse 14, he saith, awake thou that sleepeth and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Be alert, be aware, be awake. Don't fall into the trickery of the devil. Don't fall into offense. Don't fall into to all this, these head games that the devil plays with you and telling you that you're a nobody, telling you that you're washed out, telling you that you have no longer have a purpose. And the enemy comes and the enemy tries every day to destroy a society. Can I just address something here really quick? Where the enemy comes, and I've done it, I've dealt with it. Sherry's had to kick me in the fanny more than one time, not literally, but she's had to jerk me around a little bit, get my attention, shake me a little bit, and say, listen to yourself talk. But friend, if the enemy, yes, walk into that one time. If the enemy can think you're a nobody, if the enemy can get you to talk negative, if the enemy can get you to feel defeated, if the enemy can say, your life don't matter. Sometimes I feel that way. I don't know why. But anyway, sometimes the enemy just makes us feel useless and worthless. And that's just his tactic. That's just the way the enemy does. And Paul again was teaching us in the Word. Look in verse number 15. When you look at this in Ephesians 5 and 15, see that then that you walk circumspectly, upright. And he says, if you look at this, not as fools, but as wise. When I think about wisdom, I think about wisdom coming from the Lord. Now, I'm going to shift gears with you for a few minutes. Here's something in my opinion. Again, when you're preaching the message, you preach it your way. But right now, I'm going to preach it like this. But in my opinion, we claim that we are Spirit-filled church. But we need to walk in the power of the Spirit. Not that you walk as fools, but as wise. When you look at this in the scripture again, Paul says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Verse 17 says, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. When you look at the scripture, I'm going to take a detour for just a minute. And this is something that I don't know that I've really ever spoke on a whole lot during the church service. But it was something that I felt like that the Lord led me to, and I definitely believe in it. But Paul was writing these scriptures, and Paul was talking about spiritual gifts. Now again, this goes into a whole lot of stuff, and you'd have a lot more time to talk about it if you just focused on just this topic. But yet, we look at this and we see where Paul was even reiterating, and he talks about spiritual warfare, and he tells you and I that we're to walk in wisdom. We're to walk as wise. We're not to be as fools, foolish and unwise and unlearned. And Paul even said to, a lot of times not to be ignorant, and that don't mean stupid. I'll be careful about these children, but that don't mean that. It means uninformed and unknown or unlearned. So when we look at this in the scripture, this is what I want to get to. Jen, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for just a few minutes. When Paul is writing this, and again, in verse number 1, he says these words. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, the reason that Paul was teaching this is because there was a massive amount of abuse that was taking place in the church at that time. And Paul was writing this so that they would be corrected. I would not have you to be ignorant or ignorant. Again, that word is unknowledgeable of, uninformed of, and then he says not known. That's what it means. So in this, Paul is addressing this so that they would be able to be the church and to be informed. And the way I look at this, even through the book of Ephesians, that they would be able to take the shield of faith, if you will, and be able to discern and to be able to do the Father's business. Now again, walking through every bit of this. So Paul was saying in verse number 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, what he's writing about, the matters concerning spiritual gifts, Paul says, I would not have you ignorant. But I want you to know, he says in verse number 2, you know that you were Gentiles carried away under these dumb idols. That's what the word says, even as you were led. In other words, when you begin to look at this, the word dumb idols, for two things there. First of all, the imitation, and there's no truth in them. Fake, false. Again, when you look at idols, it's anything that is established or set up to be put into a position higher than God in your life. And that is what he's talking about. This word idol, actually in the Greek, if you look it up in the Greek, is actually a word that talks about, it's actually like a figurine, like a statue. It's actually something that's tangible that you can actually visibly see. Now we think about Buddha, we think about all these figurines and some of these shops and all these places. That's exactly what Paul's talking about. Now you say in the Christian church, do we have those things? No, not at all. But when Paul was writing this, he says that the Gentiles that are there at that time that have been carried away under these dead and useless and purposeless idols. Now verse 3 says, wherefore I give unto you understanding that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. In other words, again, when you think about this, we see where that Paul was addressing this, that there's a difference between the Christian and true knowledge of who Jesus is and only a fake knowledge of who Jesus is by a witness or something that you've actually heard and you really don't know whether he's real or not. And in this, Paul was addressing this, and Paul was moving on in verse 4. Now he says in verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are many different gifts of the Spirit. And that's what Paul begins to address here in this text. Now, before I get into that, let me say this, that there are those today that will deny the Holy Ghost. There are those today that will deny the spirit world. We are body, flesh, and spirit. And there is a spiritual realm that is extremely active in our world today. And Paul wrote about that in verse number 12 of our text, which we're not going back to yet. But Paul also said there's this thing called the Holy Spirit. If there's anything that you and I need when we put our armor on, it is the truth of the Holy Spirit working in our lives today. Let me premise this by saying, I believe in tongues and interpretation of tongues. If you go back and Paul addresses this in 1 Corinthians 14, and he also addresses it in 13 as he talks about this, with charity and tongues will cease and prophecy will cease. But he says love will not cease. That's another part of a message. But the point I was making is that, my friend, that there is a spiritual emphasis that is placed on this scripture right here, that there is a Holy Spirit that is alive and moving on planet Earth right now. And the way that you and I will ever defeat the devil, my friend, is by moving and by the power of the Spirit and moving in and by the spirit realm, if you will. And people get really freaked out about that. People get really wigged out by you talking about the spiritual realm. The Lord said, the Holy Ghost told me. People talk about that. And I mean, I understand where people that are not believers don't really understand why you and I would even say that, Brother Steve. We use the terminology, well, the Lord spoke to me and said, they think you're a Fruit Loop from Mars when you use that terminology. But for you and I who know His voice, we know the shepherd's voice, and we know that He speaks to us. Do you hear Him audibly in your closet at night, preacher? Oh, no, I don't feel Him audibly. I don't hear him audibly in my closet at night, no. But my friend, all throughout the day, no matter what I'm doing, where I'm at, I'm telling you, He will come, Sister Beckner, in a still, small voice. And just about every message I preach just comes to me. I'm doing whatever I'm doing, and God begins to deal with my heart. He begins to stir within me something, and then the Lord will have me zero in on. That's how just about every one of them happens. You've got to be able to hear the Bible, hear the word, the shepherd's voice. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, He's still a speaking, talking Holy Spirit. I may not hear Him audibly in my ear, but I hear Him loud in my heart. And the people of God can still hear Him as He speaks to us. Now, in these nine things right here, I want to get to really, really quick. And we're going to just walk simply down through them. When you begin to look at this, he said, now there are diversity of gifts. Gifts of the Spirit. And you say, well, how in the world did you get from the armor of God back over here? Because we've got to be wise in the church today. If not, we're going to fall right into the trap of the enemy. The wiles of the enemy. If the devil can get you twisted up, tangled up, in all kinds of things, you'll never be able to fulfill the Great Commission. If the devil can get a church twisted up and tangled up in all kinds of other things, that church will never fulfill the Great Commission. And I want to ask you this question. Does Thomasville Church of God want to fulfill the Great Commission? I believe we do. So we need the Spirit of God in our lives today in order to carry out the Great Commission. And I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost is still real. He's not dead. He's not gone out of business. He's not some no old grandfather sitting up on a seat or a stool somewhere and dead and not aware of what's going on planet Earth. God knows that. Amen. So we see this in the Scripture. When you look in verse number 5, this is what he says. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. So in this, I want to just hit this really quick, but I want to talk about it as well. Now, he says in verse number 6, and there are diversities of operations. There are diversities, there are differences, there are degrees, there are different ways, several, if you will, diversities of operations. Now, work with me through this. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. So there's different functions of the Spirit. Remember Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the Trinity? So this is where God the Father and God the Spirit and God the Son all work in perfect harmony in order for his perfect will to be done in our lives. Now let's talk about this. He begins to talk about in verse number 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. What does that mean? That the manifestation of the Spirit, the Bible says that you and I, as a Spirit-filled child of God, that we are to be producing fruit. You know that from Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, and that's the fruit side of this. This is the gift side of it. And in this, he says it's manifest of the Spirit. It's the Spirit that's behind it. So what does that mean? It's manifest of the Spirit. It's to give to every man, and it's beneficial. So the gifts of the Spirit in the church operate in a measure that it is beneficial for the body. Okay? God might use Sandra. I'm going to use you as an example. God might use Sandra to operate in a gift, but that gift operation is not just for Sandra to sit on her pew and say, well, I got it and you don't. It's not just for Sandra to say, I have a gift and you don't. The Bible says it's to profit the body. And that's even, and I don't have time to get into that, but that's the whole purpose of tongues and interpretation, is to profit the body. Amen? So in this, it's to profit with all the Bible says. The next verse, it comes down to this. For to one is given the Spirit, given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom, and to another, the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit. So when you look at this, so we have the word of wisdom. Wisdom, I studied this several years ago, wisdom is one of those things that you can get wisdom in a lot of different ways. You can read a book, and you can talk to Tim, and you can talk to Steve, and you can get wisdom, and you can glean from them, and you can do all that, and you can learn a lot of different things, but that's not what this is talking about. This is talking, according to my understanding, this is a supernatural wisdom that comes from God Himself, that you and I would know what to do in any given situation that we would need the Spirit of God to help us with. Because it's not a natural wisdom. And then he talks about, and another, a word of knowledge. I heard it said like this one time. What is the word of knowledge? And this is the only way I can really just make this really simple. The word of knowledge is something that God gives you that you really know what to do with the wisdom. You know what to do. Has anybody ever just all of a sudden, you didn't know how you was going to figure it out? And what, boy, I have as a pastor. I tell you what, there's a whole lot of praying and sitting. And sometimes I told Sherry just this morning, as I said, I don't talk about everything I'm thinking about. I'd probably not ever shut up if I did that. But I said, I have to just think and ponder and process. And I said, and I'm thinking about stuff all the time. And then God just gives me the answers that I know that I need for any given situation. And my friend, that don't come just through time and seasoned as a minister, and but it's got to come from God. And God said, I'm going to give you the knowledge. Now, there's a lot that goes into this. I'm just hitting high spots. But you know, in our lives today, as it becomes more evident that we are in a spiritual battle, It is going to be one of those things that you and I are going to have is more and more of the wisdom from heaven. More and more of the knowledge of heaven. Because I'm going to tell you, the Greeks thought that they could get it as from the philosophy of man, the learning of men, if you will. That's why Paul, and I don't have time to turn there, but that's why Paul came back and said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of men's wisdom. But Paul said, but I come to you in the demonstration of the Spirit. Amen? It's more important that people see the church than hear the church. And I believe a lot of times we say we have, but we don't possess. And in order for us to live the way that God wants us to live in the day and the hour that we're living in, is this helping anybody? We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be filled with wisdom. You need to be filled with wisdom. We need to be filled with knowledge. When you look in verse number 9, if you're looking forward at this, he said to another, there's faith by the same Spirit. This is a shield of faith. This talks about that shield of faith in the book of Ephesians. When you look at faith, when you look at what he says to another, faith is by the same Spirit. I know the Bible says, and you don't need to turn there, but if you look in Romans 12 and 2, that it's been given to every man the measure of faith. The faith is something that we all struggle with. We know the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. But I know that faith, my friend, is something that is inebbed within every one of us, that God gives us supernatural faith to believe Him in spite of the circumstances around us. And he says, again, when you look at this, to another faith. If you look in the Scripture, we're not going to turn there because I don't want to just go there and stay. I just want to sort of breeze through this real quick. But if you go back into the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, all the way throughout Hebrews chapter number 11, what does it talk about? Faith, 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 by faith, by faith, by faith, faith. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But all the way down to the end, it talks about Abraham, talks about Sarah. It talks about all the patriarchs, Rahab and Isaac and all the different ones, and all the way down through there. And then every one of them, the Bible says that they did this by faith. If you and I are going to be filled with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and be the church that God wants us to become and to be, it's got to be by faith, to another faith by the same Spirit. Gifts of healings. This is where we get a little wigged out, a little eerie and weary about this, because I can't heal nobody. That's not my gift. But maybe you operate in the gift of healing. Well, my friend, it's okay if you do. But again, this comes from God. I'm not Miss Wigglesworth. Anybody ever heard of Miss Wigglesworth? I was told that you could put the bubonic plague in his hand and the bubonic plague would die in his hand. I'm serious. I've not read that, but I mean, I've got a big thick book about him. I haven't read it much in it, but this is what God can do. Healing preachers of days gone by. There were so many charlatans that eventually got into that thing, and myself included. I'm telling you, I just said, you know what, if God wants to heal them, let them heal them. And if God wants to do it, let God do it. I can't do it. And then we've almost kicked healing out the door, but I still believe that there's this thing called divine healing that's in the atonement of Jesus, and it's by the Holy Spirit that God gives to an individual the gifts of healing, and it's by the same Spirit. That may not just be my gift. Everybody don't have the same gift. Roll on real quick, verse number 10. When you look in 10, to another, the working of miracles. There again, that all goes back to the same thing. There are those that, again, will argue with you, and there are those that's on some of the prominent radio stations that will tell you that miracles has gone out of date and miracles no longer happen. Has anybody in the room ever had a miracle? You've had God work a miracle in your life. So you're the ones that can testify that God can still do miracles. This is a special miracle. I understand that. It's a special working of miracles. And again, I've been in lots of services through my years, and we've almost kicked this plumb out the door anymore. Now, we don't even know if we believe this anymore. Anybody besides myself ever struggled with this? Sure we have. Maybe not y'all. But Sandra, I'll be honest, I've struggled with this. As a pastor, I've laid hands on people and I've prayed over people, and 3 months later, I buried them. I struggle with that area. But in the same regard, it's up to God to do that. God knows who needs what. I don't. But in this, he says, and there's another diverse kinds of tongues. I had a lady one time, bless her pea-picking heart. Tongues is for the edification of the church, okay? Did you get that? Tongues is for the edification of the church. I was walking out of the church building, not this church building, but another church I served in, not far from here, and this woman caught me at the door, and Tim, she looked at me and she said, I got divers tongues. I said, you do? She said, yeah, I know Navajo. I said, you do? It might not have been Navajo, I think. I'm pretty sure it was. And she said, I know Navajo. I speak Navajo. And I looked around and I said, well, I don't see no Navajo, so you're good. You know, I don't know what gets into people's heads. But yet in the same regard, I know a friend, she knows about this, that was in another state out west, which there was a service, and he said this with his own mouth. I'd call his name, but I won't. He said that when he was preaching, that the Holy Ghost came up on him, and Brother Russell, he gave out a message in diverse kinds of tongues. And in that message, he gave it out. Of course, he did not know what he was saying, but God knew what needed to be said. When he gave out that message, and this is the truth, or he told me a lie, and I don't believe he did, but he said that when the end of that message was given out, and Sherry's got a better memory than me, that there was a man in that room that was a Navajo Indian, and what he gave out in tongue spoke perfect Navajo to that man, and he knew exactly what he was saying. Now, if that's a lie, he told it, and she was with us when it was said. But I don't think it was a lie. You know who it was. I'll tell you later. But in these things happen. And you say, well, preacher, why are you taking the time on a Sunday night with just a few people in this room? Here's the thing. And then I'm almost done. Here's the thing. We have almost kicked the Holy Ghost out the door. There have been so many abuses of the gifts of the Spirit that nobody even wants the church to operate by the gift of the Spirit. Now, I'm telling you the truth. This is what I sense. If I'm wrong, my senses is wrong. Now, you may not feel that way, but I know myself in many circles, there would be people that would say, we don't want that no more. We don't need that no more. I know for a fact, told me to my face, or they lied, and I don't think this guy would lie to me. A Pentecostal Church of God church down towards the Charlotte area. The pastor went to their piano player and said this. I'm not calling no names. I'm using this as an example because I know I'm live online, and I'm not using no names. But he said the pastor came to him and told him, we're getting some influential people on Sunday morning. Now this guy can slam tear up a piano. And the pastor told him, said, we're getting influential people on Sunday morning, and they're from Baptist churches. So why don't you quit trying to be so Pentecostal on Sunday morning and just tone it down just a little bit? And I'm saying, that's what's wrong with the church. We kicked the Holy Ghost out the door. We don't want to operate by the power of the Spirit. Now, I know I'm chasing rabbits right now. I know I'm kicking the can. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you, I cut my teeth, Sandra, and you did too, on Pentecost, on the power of the Spirit. And when I was coming along back in the day, at that time, they didn't hold back. And at that time, I thought, well, if we get too Pentecostal, we'll start running people away. You know what I mean? But in all reality, people that are Pentecostal and people that are looking for a move of the Spirit. Now, I do know that you get the cereal gang. You do know that, don't you? You know what that is, don't you? The fruits, the flakes, and the nuts. When you start moving in the Spirit and you start doing, you know, you get all kinds of people coming from everywhere. I do realize that. But there's a way of handling that. You know what I do? I let them embarrass themselves a time or two, and they normally just calm right down and quit that mess. I do. I'm not going to go, you know, that's neither here nor there. But here's the thing. We've almost quit trying to be what God wants us to be. If we did not need the discernment of the spirits and divers of the tongues and interpretations of tongues, Paul is the one that addressed this. But God says these are gifts of the Spirit. And then how in the world are we ever going to be able to compete against the wiles of the devil if we throw the Holy Spirit out the door? I know there's such thing called wildfire. I know that. And I know today that we can't have a free-for-all. And you know what I'm talking about. They've got to be decency. There's got to be order. But there's also got to be this thing of being able to move in the power of the Spirit and allow the Holy Ghost to move in our churches again. Let me just kick this can a little bit further. If you want to say praise the Lord while I'm preaching, say praise the Lord. If you want to say hallelujah while I'm preaching, say hallelujah. If you want to say nudge the preacher along a little bit, it's okay to do that. I'd rather have a little bit of life than wondering if you're breathing. Come on now, somebody. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But moving on quickly. I know it's about that time, and I've got a lot more ways to go. He says there's divers kinds of tongues and another interpretation of tongues. That's in verse number 10. And then he says in verse 11, but all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Different gifts to different people. Everybody's not the same. But when you start looking at this again, we look at this as we see where the Scripture talks about in the Scripture that I read to us this evening, is when we have to be girded about with the truth. We see that in the text. And then we get into this whole armament that I don't really have time to get into right now. That's a whole different section. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this, that you and I, we've got to be dressed. We've got to be prepared. We've got to be clothed. When we're clothed, it ensures us that we're going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he says, when you've done all to stand, verse 14, I don't want to get into the rest of that, but he says, stand. Talks about, and I don't have time, but I thought about it when I was studying. I thought about Gideon's army over in the book of Judges. I think there was like 10,000 or something. I haven't really read it in a while, but I thought about it. I think it's like 10,000 started, and he said, all the men that goes down and lappeth like a dog, set them aside. And he worked it all the way down. He worked it all the way. I think it was like 300 at the end. And they went, and the 300 were vigilant. The 300 was alert. The 300 were battle ready. And then they went out and they went against those that was coming against them, and they defeated them. I think it's the Amalekites, if my mind serves me well. One of them ites that I talked about this morning. And you stand with me tonight. Let's stand together. The only way that you and I can live our lives in victory is to be able to stand. The word stand, when you look at this, it is a word that means to stand and keep on standing. That's the way we've always heard it said. Psalm 108 and 1 says, my heart is fixed. This word stand is actually a word that remains a firm, that you are not wavering. And James, I got it written down up there and I don't have time to get into it, but James talks about that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He says, you're like the wave of a sea that appeareth for a moment, then it's just gone away. James is the one that teaches us so many places. And again, I don't have time to really get into that. James teaches us extensively about faith. Maybe I can move into that next week. But in this, he teaches us, when you look at the word stand, it is to be alert. It means to remain steadfast. So I'm just saying this as you leave this facility tonight and those watching online, that remain steadfast. Remain faithful. Even in the moments of adversity, remain faithful to God. Father, we love you tonight and we praise you and we thank you, Father God, for your goodness. We thank you, Father God, for your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father God, for what you've done in this room today. Father, I pray, God, even right now that you would help us, God, to be found faithful as we endeavor to do your work and your will for this church. Father God, as you touch every person that's here, Help us, Heavenly Father God, to be found faithful. And Father, you said in your word that we're to be endued with power from on high. Father, I pray that you, God, would endow us with power. And God, that the gifts and the operations of the Spirit would work through your church. And the reason that we'd be able to stand and we'd be able to be able to withhold against the strongholds of the enemy. Father, I pray, God, that you touch every individual that's here tonight. Touch us, God, and keep us focused upon you. Help us, God, to be found faithful. Lord, I pray for our children and those that are on our prayer list, our prayer needs today. Help us, Heavenly Father God, to go out of this building this week. And no matter what the adversary of our soul throws at us, that God, that we stand faithful for Jesus. For it's in his precious name we ask. And all the people of God said, amen. Go in peace. Shalom. Have a good week.